Hi, welcome to another episode of Illuminate Me. We promise to try to not make it as chaotic as the last episode of Illuminate Me.
We can only promise to try.
I make no promises.
I make no such promise. It will be chaos. We're looking at you, Stacey.
I've actually set myself up. I've put bookmarks in my book so I know what I'm reading out, so I can compose myself before I read them rather than being taken off guard.
Anyway, for this show, I've decided to do the thing that I've been meaning to do for the last three or four episodes, and the last episode I almost did it, convinced myself that someone else was doing it. Tasha convinced me Stacey was covering it, so I didn't research it. Turned out no one did it.
I also chipped in and went, no, yeah.
Luna also went, no, I'm sure Stacey's doing that. So I didn't do it, and Stacey was upset because no one was doing it, because she was looking forward to me doing it. Whole thing, I'm finally covering Antarctica.
The whole of it, by the sounds.
Yes. So yeah, every single thing that's ever happened in Antarctica, I have written down. If it's conspiracy-wise, anyway, which actually isn't that much stuff, to be fair. So, from the hiding place of Nazis and Hitler to the ice wall that surrounds the flat world, Antarctica is the home of many strange stories and theories. And with strict laws controlling travel into the continent, this only adds to the feeling that something is being hidden there. So let's have a look at some of these theories. As I mentioned previously in Illuminate Me episode 4, way back when, there are theories surrounding what really happened to Hitler at the end of World War II. In that episode, we looked at the possibility he was sent to live in a secret Nazi base on the dark side of the moon, and how ridiculous that claim was. But over the years, there have been many other claims that are a little bit more believable. Before the start of the war, the Germans had claimed part of Antarctica for themselves. They had plans to build a base there, but these plans were dropped as the war started. The claim on this section of land was never continued after the war, but that didn't stop the claims of secret bases. On the morning of the 10th of July 1945, the German U-boat U-530 arrived at the Argentine naval base near Buenos Aires, 2 months after the German surrender and the end of the war in Europe on the 8th of May 1945. Rumours spread that it had brought Hitler, Eva Braun, Martin Bormann and others and had landed them on the coast of Patagonia or Antarctica before reaching Argentina. A week later, Hungarian exile in Argentina, Ladislas Szabo, wrote a detailed account in a local newspaper of how Hitler and his entourage had supposedly escaped Germany. The story quickly spread worldwide and versions of it appeared in other newspapers in many countries. On the 17th of August, another U-boat also arrived at Mar del Plata, further fueling speculation. The commanders of these U-boats and their crews were arrested and interrogated by naval personnel from Argentina, the USA and the UK. They all concluded that the arrivals were innocuous and the crews were released. 2 years later, in 1947, Szabo published a book, Hitler is Alive, where he claimed these two U-boats had taken fleeing senior Nazis to Antarctica as part of a submarine convoy. The commander of U-977 in particular denies this, but the rumour still spread. In another version of the story, it is Hitler's ashes that were taken to Antarctica and placed in a special ice cave along with Nazi treasure. Szabo claimed a Nazi Antarctic base called I can speak some German. I'm going to butcher that still, so no. So, a new base had been built in 1938 to 1939. This idea has been taken up by several authors over the years, often building on earlier embellishments, with tales becoming ever more fantastical as time has gone on. So, that was the theory. Hitler lived at the South Pole after escaping after World War II. And just generally lived the rest of his life in a secret base.
So, because you've got so many different theories for different things at the South Pole, can we call whether we think them ones are?
Yeah.
Is that the end?
That's the end of the Hitler one.
False. Bollocks.
You guys?
I say false.
Yeah, false.
Okay. Same. I don't think Hitler's holding at the South Pole.
Why would you go there? It's really cold.
It is.
Yeah.
You wouldn't want to live there permanently. The scientists who go out there don't live there permanently. Mm-hmm. They only do the
a few months of the year. Mm. Yeah.
Months.
Obviously, the normal theory is that the more believed theory amongst the people that don't think Hitler committed suicide, because there's a lot of suspicion around his death, which we also covered in episode 4. The general consensus among the people that think that he didn't commit suicide is that he was on one of the U-boats that went to Argentina and was allowed into Argentina under a false name and wandered off and went and lived his life in Argentina. So that I could probably believe. Anyway, so another theory is that the Earth is hollow, at least in parts, and that the gateway to this other world can be found in Antarctica. Now, while it would be physically impossible for the entire planet to be hollow, could there be huge cavernous areas under the surface in Antarctica? We have satellite images to show us that these do not exist, but we also know that these images are regularly doctored to cover over areas such as military bases and places we aren't allowed to see, Area 51, things like this. Could this be one of them? On the 29th of November 1929, Richard E. Byrd made his historical flight over the South Pole. This was the first time that flight over the pole had been attempted, and up to this point in time, only two parties had ever reached the South Pole, and only one survived the trip back. Byrd was also sent back to Antarctica after World War II in a military mission named Operation High Jump. During this mission, it is claimed that the expedition team came into contact with an advanced civilization with advanced technology living inside the hollow Earth. Byrd was known for always keeping a journal about everything he did, especially his assignments. This journal was confiscated when he returned, and later entries make mention of this expedition and how he was told to not say anything about what he saw. Byrd is also claimed to have given an interview years later about what he saw, and within 3 weeks he had suspiciously died in his sleep. His own son, years later, was due to give a talk about his dad, the places he had been and the things he had seen. He was said to be eager to discuss Operation High Jump, as his dad had told him stories and he knew how much it really upset his dad that he wasn't able to tell the full truth. But his son also never made it to give the talk, dying mysteriously. There are also those who now believe that this advanced civilization is to blame for the UFO sightings all around the world, and that this is why we're not allowed into the South Pole. Do we believe the Hollow Earth? Maybe not necessarily entire Hollow Earth, but advanced civilization living under the surface?
No.
Stace?
I believe that there could be caves and things that they're hiding down there that they don't want us to see. Because, you know, look at the glaciers and the caves and the rivers that run underneath the ice. In these kind of environments.
I don't see how or why anyone would hide down there.
So, I mean, they're killing the rest of the planet. So why did they so desperately want to preserve Antarctica?
Mm-hmm.
What about if, crazy theory here, you know how obviously we're always hyper-focused on Area 51? It's being like where they keep all the, you know, aliens and the technology. What about if that's where they're keeping it?
I'll get
one
to
step
that.
Ahead there.
Yes. So, out of all of these theories, there is one that I believe above all others, and it is probably the most dangerous if true. For this theory, I have a video to show from an interview on the Sean Ryan show with Eric Hecker, who works at the South Pole. For anyone listening, I highly suggest finding and listening to the entire interview. So I'm just going to play this now.
I physically held a key that opened every single door in the facility. I had complete access to every compartment they manufactured.
What are you blowing the whistle on?
That there are technologies at the South Pole Station that people can't even consider that exist on this planet. Directed energy weapon systems is something that people need to get in their vocabulary fast. The Ice Cube neutrino detector is not simply a passive listening device as presented for the science that they're claiming it to do. It also has the capacity to transmit. There are embedded in the ice what are called digital optical modules, DOMs. They're about the size of a basketball. The array embedded in the ice is 1 kilometer by 1 kilometer by 1 kilometer. It is the world's largest telescope. And now, because we have proven that it can transmit, it's the world's largest directed energy weapon system. It is responsible for the earthquakes in Christchurch, New Zealand.
How do you know for a fact that that was responsible for that?
Because I was present, and I have gone over this with the pertinent people, but I will not be releasing their names.
Okay.
But I was on the team, let's just say, and I've confirmed this.
Well,
I've provided documentation from the actual manufacturer's specs. So this unit was constructed, operated, and maintained by the University of Wisconsin, and just like every other device on the planet, whether you're driving an M1 Abrams tank or operating the Ice Cube neutrino detector, there's operator's manuals that tell you how things work. Right there in that information, free for everybody to find. I found it myself. I was directed to find it, I'll put it that way, and release this information. And it states very clearly that each one of these DOMs can transmit at 2,047 volts each. So these are currently the facts of life.
So he's basically claiming there that a science experiment that's apparently meant to be trying to detect neutrinos is actually being used as a directed energy weapon, which is causing fires, earthquakes in New Zealand, earthquakes all around the world, are all being caused by, not necessarily on purpose, but maybe by accident, the use of this technology.
See, it's the fact of it is, one, show us the proof of how this thing has caused an earthquake or a fire. Yeah. Or a natural disaster.
How it does it.
How it actually works. I want to know the science behind that, and I want to see the proof of the science for behind that. Second question, if it was that to cause that, I want to know if it was on purpose or on accident.
Well, one, you can get more information by listening to the entire interview. And two, you will have your opportunity to ask him for all of that, as Eric will be joining us on the live show on the 5th of November.
That guy's going to be on the week after Halloween on the live show, so you can ask himself.
Oh, amazing.
He will literally be joining us for 2 hours, so if you have any questions, join us for that one and come and ask him. If you're listening to this after the 5th of November, you should be able to find that podcast a few episodes down. Go and give it a listen.
I'm sure it's going to be
very, very interesting chat.
Note down the date. Join us on live on YouTube. It'll literally be live, and he can answer questions in the comments.
Yeah, I'll happily read him out all your questions, that anything you want to ask him. I'll see if I can get him to answer them.
I'm
so
write them down and pass them on to you, because the comments on YouTube, because I watch it on the TV, it's so difficult to comment when you're watching it on the TV.
Yeah,
it's like you need two running. And usually I'm doing my reverse homework, so I'm using my phone for research.
Okay, so what do we all think of that theory?
That sounds a lot more plausible than the others.
Yeah, I need more evidence.
Yes.
I'm not going to say, oh no, I don't believe that at all. I don't want to believe that. But it sounds feasible.
It seems a lot less
Fantasy,
especially if it's happening as an accidental side effect of an experiment. Like, whoops, we tried to do this, but we accidentally did this because we didn't understand the technology we were using. If it's a, we knew exactly what we were doing, we knew exactly what we were building, and we targeted it at something / somebody, that's a much different claim and a lot more scary. Still, wouldn't put it past the wrong people to have done that. So.
What do you think, woman?
Well, I came to that conclusion without even listening to that, did I?
Yeah. She was like, it's definitely this, they're hiding weapons there. Yes, yeah. Yes, they are.
I mean, the other part of me, like, just, like, one small part of me thinks that maybe they just don't want people going to Antarctica because, obviously, if some idiot gets stuck, it's going to be an absolute nightmare to go and get them.
Well, right, the law, officially, everyone says that it's illegal to go to Antarctica. It's illegal to go to Antarctica without permission.
Yeah. Who do you ask permission to go to Antarctica?
The countries that signed the Antarctica Treaty. If you can have permission from the Antarctica Treaty, you can go there.
Why?
They basically, officially, the Antarctica Treaty was signed to keep Antarctica free from people, so it was a safe haven for the animals and for science. So it was a quiet, desolate place where they could go and do science experiments where there weren't people.
But they do science everywhere in the world. Why do they need that to be so peaceful?
And there are animals everywhere all over the world that we haven't thought.
Because Antarctica is
they don't
is
care
such...
about the fucking rainforest.
No. But Antarctica is such a unique place that, for some reason, instead of like looking at the planet holistically and thinking, oh, you know, how can we save that, they've like targeted like Antarctica and been like, yeah. Yeah. We're going to keep this place sacred because it's so...
They said that the ice there...
Strange.
Because people have made claims that, obviously, in recent years it wasn't. It was just like land and full of green and trees and this, that and the other. But scientists, again, you have to believe the science. If you're like-minded enough to be, I don't believe the scientists, that everything they're telling us is lies, that there's evidence... that the ice has been at the South Pole for over 10 million years without melting.
Personally, the snow, the water, the ice, that is where Paul Rudd gets his drinking water.
Fountain of youth.
I mean, Keanu Reeves, that's where they're getting their drinking water.
But again, if we are to believe people like Graham Hancock, it's all nonsense. All the science they tell us about how old the world is and how old civilization is and how long certain countries or certain continents have been under ice is all nonsense because our understanding of everything is wrong. So,
I must say, Graham Hancock's work, I know it's controversial, but there are reasons that he says what he says. You wouldn't put in 40 years of your life work for it to be a load of rubbish, basically.
Yeah, and not to have done any actual fucking work.
I believe 100% what he says. Have you ever watched his documentary?
I haven't watched it yet.
You need
I really
to watch
need
his documentary, watch then come back and tell me that you don't believe the guy.
Mm-hmm. I believe him without watching it.
Yeah.
But that's just, that's me.
Go watch it. It blew my mind.
It is like, really good.
I've always trusted science and the timelines and things like that. And the science part I still do. However, when he talks about timelines and things that have been discovered and the fact that they've discovered these little snippets of things and they're like, oh my God, this is amazing. This would rewrite the whole history of the world. All of a sudden, funding's been pulled. You're not allowed to go in there. This is not like a site that we're just going to open to the public and not investigate any further. And
I think it comes down to the fact that other than the last 100 years, a lot of the times it was difficult to come forward with brand new science and be like, I've got a new idea that's going to prove you all wrong. People don't like to be wrong. If they've spent their entire career stating this as fact and now they're wrong, they look stupid. So no one wants to be proven wrong. But nowadays there's so much mistrust in science that if someone like Graham Hancock came out with undeniable evidence that they were wrong, the conspiracy tinfoil hat wearing crazy people would be like, if they could be wrong on something so fundamental as where we came from and our own timeline, what else are they wrong about? And no one would trust scientists ever again. So I think that's why they're very defensive over what we believe to be true.
I say if they're so confident about what we believe to be true, then let Graham Hancock have his way. Let him do his work and his research and then prove him wrong on what he's found.
There's a reason.
I believe there's a lot to his work. I wish they'd let it dig deeper because we'd learn so much about ourselves and where we came from and the timeline of it all. But as you say, it would discredit science and scientists.
Yeah, so there's documentaries out there on the flat earth, there's documentaries out there on Nazis living on the moon, there's documentaries about pretty much every conspiracy theory we talk about on this show, even the stupid ones, and they're all just left alone. People can watch them, people can laugh at them, people can take them seriously. You can make your own opinion. But Graham Hancock's documentary came out and was instantly called the most dangerous documentary to have ever been made, and people tried to have it pulled from Netflix. People were just saying how horrific it was and that he shouldn't be allowed to make these claims. He was just claiming that humanity was more civilized, more advanced than they thought it was, and that we were advanced before the last ice age, and that we passed information across to other civilizations, which is why we have pyramids built all around the world, which is why civilizations all around the world all seemed very, very similar and had similar beliefs.
Yeah.
It's because they shared information, which logically makes sense.
Either shared information or these things that happened were real.
Yeah.
That there were giants, that there was a great flood and that affected the whole world, and there were these natural disasters that every single ancient civilization talks about.
Yeah.
But these snake people, what are they? The star people that they speak about?
Yeah, the
well.
Anunnaki.
Oh, we could go into this forever.
I know, we're going to have to kind of remember. We've got three other ones to do.
But yeah, definitely, that's the one I believe that could be a thing, but I don't know. We'll have to wait and see once I speak to Mr. Eric Hecker and find out what else he knows.
I'm looking forward to hearing what he's got to say.
And me, I'm going to write down some questions.
And then I'm going to see if I can get Graham Hancock on.
I'll imagine.
That'd be amazing.
You'd have to let Stacey do that interview.
Right? Yeah.
Stacey would just fangirl the whole time.
Oh, I would lose it. I'd be like, oh my God.
Block me if you got Dan Aykroyd on. Yeah. Oh my God, that's my dream.
Those are the top two on my list of people I need to speak to.
Dan Aykroyd, who better than a Ghostbuster?
I've got
who likes UFOs.
Three people I need to speak to, because Dan Aykroyd, he likes his UFOs, but he's also a fan of the paranormal.
He's a Ghostbuster?
Exactly. We have Graham Hancock for the ancient aliens and the ancient civilizations, and obviously for ufology, Tom DeLonge.
I was thinking Tom DeLonge.
Don't even, you ever get... No, that's going to be another Evan Peters situation, that is. I couldn't talk.
You'd just be like... squeaky noises coming out of something out of your mouth.
Oh my God. No, I couldn't. I'd fangirl.
I'd just be sitting there going, where are you?
Love, you know you'd fangirl too much if Tom DeLonge came on.
I'm over here. Anyway, who's going next?
Okay, so moving on to a very different direction from Antarctica, I've gone with the dark web. The dark web, is it really what they say? We've all heard about it, we all know it's there, but what do we actually know about it? The dark web is a hidden collective of internet sites only accessible by a specialised web browser. Given its anonymity, it's mostly used for illegal and illicit purposes, such as selling drugs, weapons, people's identities, and, according to some, much worse. From red rooms, which are rumoured to be hidden websites or services where you can interact or observe essentially a snuff film. You can choose what happens or simply sit back and watch the horrific events unfold. You can apparently hire a hitman to kill off anyone you'd like for a massive sum of money. There are also cannibal forums where you can arrange to either eat or be eaten. It is all consented, for the most part, what we know of. But there was a famous case in 2001 where a guy from Germany made an advert on the dark web on a site called the Cannibal Cafe, asking for people that would want to be eaten by him. Shout out to all my Bailey Sarian girls who already know all of this story. He particularly wanted a guy between the ages of 18 and 30. I'm pretty sure they had sex and then he cut off his penis and they both ate it. After a review, the man said his own penis was a bit chewy, didn't like it, but then the guy ate 20 sleeping pills and passed away from overdosing. For the next 10 months, give or take, the cannibal eats him bit by bit. The guy only gets caught because he slipped up to his psychiatrist and told her about his fantasies about eating people. She sent the police to his house on the off chance, and they found the remains of the man that he ate. There is also a site called Pink Meth. While it sounds like it's about drugs, it's far from it. It's a site where you can buy slash sell nudes of people you know for large sums of money. This site would then post said pictures alongside the person's name, address, their phone numbers, and any other information the person gave them with the photos. It's wow. Usually women.
Now shoot.
Yep. They would then find the women and would tell them that they have their pictures and details. And if they paid up, they would take them down. And if they couldn't afford or simply didn't pay, they would let the anonymous people of the dark web have hold of all of them. On a different note, you can also buy stolen credit cards, fake passports. Strangely, I found a lifetime Netflix subscription that's paid for with said stolen credit cards.
Wow.
You buy it for a dollar on the dark web and you've got it forever.
Wow.
I was like...
I wouldn't even know how to get onto the dark web.
What was this,
no.
what was this website you needed to use to get on there?
It's a browser called Tor.
Nice. And why do I download this?
Let's not give out this information. Even dark web mystery boxes, where they put anything in them, from murder weapons to clothing items, human remains, or even just a bunch of junk for a hefty sum. You could have wasted your money on complete crap or inadvertently just bought a murder weapon.
I think the majority, if not all of those mystery boxes, was people just sending absolute bollocks.
Oh, yeah.
And people going, I wonder what this is now.
Yeah.
Nothing.
But if you can buy them from the dark web, there's every chance that because everyone thinks it's all bollocks, when you end up with a murder weapon or some clothes that the murderer
you're
gonna
go,
was wearing.
And then throw it in the bin and the police will never find it.
Or they find it in your bin with your fingerprints on.
Yeah. Or they find it, well, never find it because it's in a different country. And someone went, oh, remember that box I found? I threw it all away.
Hmm. It's safe to say the dark web isn't something to be messed with. I won't be downloading any browsers for it. But would you?
Yes.
No, you fucking won't.
For Netflix. And
then it's just so disturbing, isn't it, to think that there's that other side of life. That, you know, you have these whole communities of evil, nasty, sick people who have got the safe space to do it.
It's proper scary, especially when I read about that Pink Meth one.
Yeah, like, that's scary, because when you said about the nudes, I was like, you know what, send them out, see if I care. But when they know your address...
You know who mostly uses it? Apparently, it's guys who were scorned, and it's their ex-girlfriends.
Mm. Like revenge porn type thing.
Yeah, and they send out all of their document, like where they live, where they work, their phone numbers. And in a few, found a few TikToks about it as well, and they were saying that the general public would get hold of it on the site. If you went on there, you can choose to just go and terrorise these people, even while they're waiting for them to get back with their like ransom money. It's already up there. As soon as it's been bought, it goes straight on the website.
Wow.
No, I mean,
so they will go on there, pay some money for the details so they can just terrorise them. And you don't know what these people are doing. They're on the dark web. They're shady people. Like, no offence to any of you that have checked out the dark web and aren't shady, but to be honest, if you're on that website, you're shady as fuck. I ain't taking that back.
I would just rather not know. Does that make sense? I'd just like, I know it exists. I've got a kind of idea of what's on there. Don't want to see it. Want nothing to do with it.
I don't want to go on the dark web. I'm too scared.
Here's a question for you guys, because obviously that website's probably all photos of women. If someone you knew went on there and found your photos on there, would you want to know you're on there?
Yeah,
because I'd want to take it to the police.
Yeah, there's not a lot
they can
do.
About it, but if I was to like be murdered or something, then surely there's a way they could trace it.
Yeah.
If something bad was to happen to me or to my family.
And if nothing happens, just living in fear is enough.
That's the other problem.
Someone might pick you to terrorise.
Knowing it's on there, say like someone again finds your photos and tells you, might never happen, but now you're terrified. So like maybe they might not want to tell you in case you're terrified for the rest of your life for no reason.
Yeah.
I'd want to know because I'd change my details pretty quickly. Like, if I found out...
Like, your address, your job.
I would, you know, things like that.
Yeah,
like,
that stuff you could do.
Although, definitely. Annoyingly, if it's someone that knows you that put the things up, if they you don't know who it is, you could pass on your forwarded address and your new phone number and your details get updated and they move it to another website so you don't know where it is.
It's an ex or something. It's usually someone that you've like pissed off enough that you'd know. If you've pissed someone off that bad, you'd know you've pissed them off.
Also,
you know.
If they've got your nudes, like, I mean, you know.
You're assuming you've only sent them to a few people.
Exactly. Like, you know, obviously everyone in this room's in committed relationships. The only person you're going to send them to is your spouse. Mm-hmm. So
I'd be like, which photo is it?
Is it a good one?
Well, obviously that too. But like, do I have this tattoo in that photo?
Yeah.
So I know how old the photo is, who's had that photo.
Yeah.
Who's seen? If it's a photo from 15 years ago, chances are it wasn't you. It was somebody else.
Yeah. Exactly.
If it's a photo from the last 6 months, either your phone's been hacked.
Or you've sent it in.
Mm.
So it'll help you kind of get to the bottom of... Plus, again, you'd be like, this could at least be a fucking decent one, you know? I've sent some decent pictures. Some of them are a bit shit.
I wouldn't want it to be a decent one. I'd want it to be a really shit one, so I've got less of a chance.
That someone's going to go, that's a hot picture, I'm going to go find that person. You want it to be the fuggliest, mankiest photo you've ever taken?
I want it to be in the middle of the summer when I'm sitting butt naked in front of my fan with my boobs up. That's the one I want on the dark web.
But
that is just like a...
But are those photos that you take and send to Reese?
Absolutely not, no.
Well, there you go. If you're not taking the pictures. So, who's next?
So, what I want to cover today is something I actually happened across while doing research for another topic, hilariously. It is called the Philadelphia Experiment. So the Philadelphia Experiment was an alleged event claimed to have been witnessed by an ex-merchant marine named Carl M. Allen at the United States Navy's Philadelphia Naval Shipyard in guess where?
Philadelphia?
Yeah! Well done!
I know all the things, mate.
Oh, no. So this happened around...
Philadelphia.
This happened in October of 1934, and he described an experiment where the US Navy attempted to make a destroyer disappear. Mm-hmm. So apparently they tried to make an invisible ship. Crazy. So the story apparently first surfaced in late 1955 when Allen sent a book full of handwritten annotations referring to the experiments of US Navy research. And later on, he wrote a series of letters and basically gave them to a UFO book writer. Even though a lot of people try and claim that it's a hoax, but I don't know, I'm kind of quite interested. So the origin of the Philadelphia experiment happened in 1955 when he sent an anonymous package marked Happy Easter containing a copy of Morris K. Jessup's book, The Case for the UFO Project, to the Office of Naval Research. And there was like loads of like handwritten notes and things like that. So, let's go into what the experiment was. So, according to legend, on October 28th, 1943, the USS Eldridge, a cannon-class destroyer escort, was conducting top-secret experiments designed to win command of the oceans against the Axis powers. The rumour was that the government was creating technology that would render naval ships invisible to enemy radar, and there, in the Philadelphia Naval Shipyard, was time to test it out. Shipyard, apparently.
Shipyard.
Witnesses claim an eerie green-blue glow surrounded the hull of the ship as her generator spun, and then suddenly the Eldridge disappeared. The ship was then seen in Norfolk Naval Shipyard in Virginia before disappearing again and reappearing back in Philadelphia. So, obviously, the legend states that the Eldridge crew were affected by events in really disturbing ways. So some of them apparently went insane. Some of them developed mysterious illnesses, but others were said to have been fused together with the ship. Still alive, but their limbs were just sealed to the metal.
Oh. Nice.
Yeah.
Like, they were just welded. Like,
welded to the hull. Oh, I wonder how they would have got them off.
Bit of fairy liquid.
So I was thinking when you're like, get him off. All right. Quick tug.
Jesus.
Just a scraper.
He's now known as the tugboat.
Apparently, someone that was on board said that there were neither invisibility cloaks nor teleportation drives designed by aliens, but instead they scrambled the magnetic signatures of ships using the degaussing technique, which provided protection from magnetic torpedoes aboard U-boats. So the green glow was apparently an electrical storm or St. Elmo's fire, and apparently it was just that they just lost track of the boat.
That sounds very much like when someone has a UFO sighting. They're like, I saw it do this, this and this. It went this speed. It went this direction. It did this. And then people pick it apart and think of an explanation for each individual thing. So the glow was St. Elmo's fire, which you wouldn't normally find around the entire hull of a boat, and it's not normally green or blue.
Mm-hmm.
Is it in the sky?
It's usually, you'll find it on boats, you normally find it like the top of the sails in the clouds. You'll also find it.
I'm thinking of a sprite.
You'll also find it on the front of the plane. It's basically lightning that comes off the thing, but around the hull of the boat you wouldn't normally get it. Then they just lost track of it. Like, it's all barely explains each individual part, but none of them explain everything happening at the same time.
Why were the people glued to the thing?
Yeah, exactly.
What explains that?
When you say about them being fused to the ship, the first thing that I thought is, like, you know when you burn yourself, like, you know, if, like, you catch your arm when you're getting your pizza out the oven, your skin sticks, doesn't it? That's the only thing I can think of. It's
literally like that.
Skin fusing to the ship.
They've instantly heated and then cooled down to the point that they're stuck.
Unless it was some sort of, like, acid burn.
I did it at school when I was in, like, year 7 or 8 doing metal work. The teacher said to test if metal was hot enough to shape it, to put your hand over the top of it, see if you can feel any heat coming off it. Once it's cooled to the point that you can't feel any heat, that's when you could start kind of shaping the metal. And I slipped and put my hand on the metal, and as I lifted my hand up, it was stuck to me.
Yeah.
And obviously burning me, so I ran to put my hand in the bucket of cold water to cool my hand down, and luckily the teacher slapped my hand away and was like, that is the worst thing you can do, because once that cools down, you will be stuck to it.
Mm.
Like, we will have to take it to the hospital to have it removed. And he managed to kind of pull it off with a load of skin. But plus, it was really fucking manky, dirty water, because that's where people were cooling down their metal. So it probably would have been infected too. But yeah, so if they've obviously got really hot and then cooled down instantly, they would have been fused, like, stuck to it.
Yeah.
So, very weird.
Looking into some of the ways they also tried to, well, they debunked this story, was apparently they declared the Carl Allen as being a leg puller, and apparently the log had the date of October 28th, 1943. Apparently it was in the Bahamas on a shakedown, so they've really tried to, like, hide this.
Yeah. It's either a very well put together story, or it legitimately happened, or at least something happened that they're trying to cover up.
Because how does a ship move 200 miles and they're just like, lols, that magnetic thing was so good that we lost track of it? Like, come on now.
Including, like, again, kind of explains that how it disappeared on radar. Completely ignores the eyewitnesses that said they watched it vanish and then watched it reappear.
Yeah.
Magnetics don't confuse people's eyeballs when they watch it disappear.
How many eyewitnesses were there, did it say?
It didn't actually, it just said eyewitnesses.
Witnesses implies more than one, doesn't it? Mm. So if more than one person saw the same thing, that's feasible.
Yeah. So yeah, I definitely believe something happened there.
Definitely, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's so much more on it as well, though, but obviously mine was just a quick overview of it. I was trying to, like, condense it down as much as possible.
What have you got for us then, Stace?
I've got a show and tell.
Oh, yes, you've got your little friend.
I've got my friend with me. No.
Oh, yeah.
I'm nervous how close I'm sat to Stacey.
Oh, he's fine. I quite like him. He's been with me since yesterday evening. Nothing bad's happened. And he's just amazing. So, If I said I'm walking like an Egyptian straight into this Halloweenish themed conspiracy theory with the curse of the late pharaoh Tutankhamun, would that give you any idea of who my friend is?
Well, if he fits in your bag and we haven't seen him yet, it's definitely not Tutankhamun himself.
It's not Tutankhamun himself, no.
Is it his big toe?
It's not his big toe.
Okay, then no, I don't know.
It is not a body part.
That's good, to
I'm
know.
Glad. I'm glad we're not mutating people.
We should be all together.
Yes. Yeah.
Have you ever heard of a, I'm going to butcher the name, Shabti, or they're sometimes called Ushabtis, it's sometimes spelled with a U before?
No.
No.
So what a Ushabti is, they were carvings that would be put into the pharaoh's tombs to protect them from intruders and to serve them in the afterlife. And I have one
wow.
in my bag. This is a certified 21st lunar space 21st dynasty Shabti. He's about 4,000 years old.
Wow.
And he came out of an ancient Egyptian tomb.
Wow. Well, that one's not like a replica or anything.
It's not a replica. It's 100% real. How it was acquired? It was acquired by a friend of mine a very long time ago when she was about 12 years old at school. Her form tutor, Mr. Richards, was a huge fan of ancient Egypt, as was my friend. Mr. Richards wrote a letter to my friend's parents asking, because he didn't have children, he didn't have any family members, asking, is there something I could pass down to your daughter, because I know that she's really into ancient Egypt. I don't want this getting into anybody's hands, not being respected. I want it to go to someone who's really going to appreciate it. Her parents agreed, and she acquired a Ushabti.
Wow.
Isn't it amazing? Do you want to have a look? Do you want
I'm
to
really
hold it?
I'm to hold it.
You don't have to. I knew you would.
I want to, but I'm just like, because of how old it is, I just don't want to risk damaging it or anything, because I know what I'm like.
Don't drop him. He's genuine. He's been certified at, I'm not sure which museum, but a museum over in Birmingham, who said that he's 100% real. He's a bit battered. He's
he's been around a bit, hasn't he, so to be fair.
Absolutely.
Does he smell of something?
Not really.
Yeah. How Mr. Richards became possession of this is that Mr. Richards' late relatives down the line actually worked in Egypt excavating the tombs.
Wow.
So, yeah, that is my friend Shabti of ancient Egypt.
It's one of those things that British people went, I'm going to take that, instead of just leaving it in fucking Egypt.
But you know what? He's not bad luck. I think after 4,000 years, he's retired.
Yeah.
There are flecks of, like, darker green on there. Mm. That would have been his original colour when he was first made. You can look him up on the internet.
Yeah, I think you can feel it's kind of like limestone-y, sandstone kind
you
of...
You can see the green on his
kind
side,
of feel. Yeah. But then this is all kind of like painted, varnished on over the top. To make it look, obviously, nicer than just solid stone.
He was a server and protector of the pharaohs in ancient Egypt.
That's really cool.
He's come round with me everywhere for the past 2 days, and I tell you what, he's been great company. I've loved him. I was really wary. I took him home last night, and Reese was like, you are not leaving me in the house while you go to work with that fucking thing.
You know, well,
so he came to work with me, my handbag in my car.
If anything,
I wasn't allowed to leave him at home.
Like, if anything, he's there as a protector.
Absolutely.
He's
like,
a protector.
I just
it'd be a good thing to have in your home.
I don't get a bad feeling from him. I think he's fat. But now I've had him for a little bit. I mean, of course I've got to give him back. My friend is not going to let me keep him. I want one.
You should look into
I
getting
one. I want one. He's so cool. I'm just absolutely fascinated that he's 4,000 years old. That he's served as a protector of a late pharaoh. Don't know which one. Don't know which tomb he came out of. That's anyone's guess. I just think the history behind him is amazing.
I think he's cool.
Incredible.
I like him.
I love him. He's my friend. But he doesn't have a name. I asked my friend, like, have you named him? And she's like, no. I'm like, yeah, He needs a name. So if we have any name suggestions...
Steve.
No, you can't call him Steve.
No.
Okay, so I'll put a poll at the end or underneath the podcast on Spotify. So if you're not listening on Spotify, but you have Spotify, one, why are you not listening on Spotify? That's stupid. Go over to Spotify, find this episode. There will be a poll underneath. I'm going to see how I can kind of frame it. It might have some suggestions that you have to pick one, or one might, maybe you can decide what name you think we should give him, and we'll go with whichever one has the most votes, or whichever one sounds the coolest, whichever way we do it, we'll suggest that as his new name.
And big shout out to my friend for trusting me with him as well, because I know how precious he is to her.
Yeah.
I just think he's great. So
he is cute, I like him.
He's cool. I want one too.
Oh, and I just love him.
Even though I disagree with the... I think that every Egyptian artefact should have stayed in Egypt. The only reason the pyramids are still there is because they're too big to fit in a British museum. That's literally... Yeah. If they were smaller, we'd have stolen them. We stole everything fucking else.
Don't they have, like, an actual mummy? Like, an actual mummy in the British Museum in London?
They've got some in Birmingham as well.
When you think about it, if you died, would you want to just be put and plonked in a museum for people to go... at a dead body, like all day, every day.
It is really weird when you look at it.
When you think about it, what it actually is. There's
an actual person lying there.
There's no respect by putting it in a museum, I think.
No.
And the thing is, a lot of the times they put things like the Shabtis in these to protect them from having
from
their...
the said intruders.
Oh no, instead the intruder went in and stole the protection. And it's now in my living room. So, yeah, I generally, it's a really cool thing. I think it's amazing. I love the whole Egyptian thing and all the ancient Egyptian stuff. But I personally believe all of the artifacts belong in a museum in Egypt.
Even though you want one for yourself.
Even though I want one for myself.
Yeah,
you can have a replica.
Although this is going to sound like something scary stories and legends are made of, or the plot of an Indiana Jones film, I can assure you that everything I'm about to tell you is factual to the very best of my knowledge and the best of my research. And then the rest, of course, is up for you lot to decide. So, in 1922, the esteemed archaeologist Howard Carter made the discovery of a lifetime. After years of failed searching, financial hardship, and on his last attempt to find what he'd been searching for, Carter, alongside his financial backer, Lord Carnarvon, deep beneath the Egyptian sands, hold up a flickering light in the dark entrance to the late boy Pharaoh's tomb, the tomb of Tutankhamun. Hot air, trapped for thousands of years, escapes the ancient doorway, and as their eyes grew accustomed to the light, details within emerged slowly from the mist. Carter, not able to wait any longer, asked Lord Carnarvon, "Can you see anything?" To which he replied, "Yes, wonderful things." After years of searching, the pair had uncovered the final resting place of the childhood king, uncovering the most well-preserved tomb in Egypt's Valley of the Kings. Howard Carter and Lord Carnarvon became instant celebrities, with media all over the world in frenzy over the discovery. But this was to be short-lived, as upon entering the tomb, their fate was inevitable. As legend has it, there is an ancient curse associated with the mummies and the tombs of the Egyptian pharaohs. And I'm about to tell you how these poor men and many others associated with the discovery met their fate in the short years following the discovery of the tomb. By 1929, a total of 22 people who had been involved in the discovery of Tutankhamun's tomb had died. Lots of dead people. So 5 months after entering the tomb, Lord Carnarvon, age 56, was dead. And at the time of his death, all of the lights went out in Cairo. He had accidentally tore open a mosquito bite while shaving and ended up dying of blood poisoning shortly after.
Wow.
Wow.
Cerberus Ingham was gifted a paperweight by Howard Carter, who discovered the tomb. The paperweight consisted of a mummified hand wearing a bracelet which was supposedly inscribed with the phrase, "Cursed be he who moves my body." Ingham did not die from the mummy's curse. However, his house tragically burned to the ground shortly after receiving this gift. When he tried to rebuild his house, it was hit by a flood.
Jesus. Wow. Who sees a bracelet that says that and thinks, you know who needs this, Bruce? he needs a hand as a paperweight. You know who needs a mummy's hand? The fucking mummy.
Mm-hmm. To be fair. And there's more. George J. Gold was an American financier and railroad executive who fell sick in 1923, pretty much immediately after visiting the tomb. He never recovered from his illness and died only a few months later of pneumonia. Hugh Evelyn White, a British archaeologist, visited the tomb and may have helped with its excavation. After tragically losing around 24 of his co-workers who had been involved in the excavation, very sadly took his own life. His final words, allegedly written in his own blood, said, "I have succumbed to a curse which forces me to disappear." Aaron Ember was an American Egyptologist who was a close friend to many of the people who were present when King Tut's tomb was opened. He died in 1926 when his house burned down shortly after he had hosted a dinner party. He could have escaped safely, however, his wife had encouraged him to go back to rescue a manuscript he had been working on while she went to fetch his son. Tragically, he, his family and their maid died in the fire. The name of his manuscript was the Egyptian Book of the Dead. Oh, there's a few more. Bear with me. And I didn't include all of them. I only included the really juicy ones.
Yeah, because there was a few that just died.
Yeah.
There was not a lot to it. They just got ill and died.
Richard Bethell, Lord Carnarvon's secretary, and the first person to enter King Tut's tomb behind Howard Carter, died in 1929 under suspicious circumstances. He was found smothered in his room at one of London's elite gentlemen's clubs. The suggestion that he had fell victim to the curse was previously raised when a year previous to that, there were a series of mysterious fires in his home where some of the priceless finds from the tomb were stored. However, no connection between the artefacts and Bethel's death were ever established. Sir Archibald Douglas Reed simply x-rayed King Tut before the mummy was given to the museum. He fell very poorly the day after he carried out the x-ray and died 3 days later.
Wow, that was fast.
Very fast. Work quick on that one. Mm. He actually touched the mummy though, so,
yeah. You
know. Ooh. James Henry Breasted, another Egyptologist, was a member of Carton's team when the tomb was opened. Shortly after, it had been said that he returned home to find that his pet canary had been eaten by a cobra which was still occupying the cage. The cobra is a symbol of the Egyptian monarchy and was worn on Egyptian kings' headdresses to represent protection. James didn't die until 1935, although his death occurred immediately after a trip to Egypt.
Mm-hmm. Mm, that's odd.
So the second he went back, they were like, "Ah, forgot about you."
Howard Carter himself never had a mystery illness or a fiery disaster. He died at the age of 64 from lymphoma. Did the pharaohs see fit to spare him from their curse, or was the tragic death of many of his friends and colleagues a curse in itself for him to witness over the years? Although many of the deaths have logical scientific explanations this day and age, could so many people who were involved in the discovery of King Tut's tomb logically meet their deaths in such a short space of time afterwards and in so many different ways? Could it really just be a coincidence?
Mm-hmm. And now some of the curse of all the different mummies that have been unearthed and all the different tombs, a lot of it they've put down to fungus building in the tombs, and then obviously as they open it, all of those spores come flooding out. Mm-hmm. It's basically like inhaling 4,000 years worth of black mould all at the same time.
And they have actually tested the mummies, like done like the little swab test things on them, and grown funguses from the swab tests that they've done on Egyptian mummies. So there is proof there that they could have died in that way. So anybody who had any sort of breathing difficulties or had died in that way, that sort of, it could be an explanation.
That doesn't explain why your house burnt down.
I mean, 22 people to die. Who went in there, though?
Completely different things.
And it was the fact that it was the most intact tomb in the Valley of the Kings that has ever been found. You know, other ones that they've been found might have been done by grave robbers already.
And they've just got what's left.
If it's been stolen from, you're not going to have that documentation of who died after going in there. We're going to get on to some facts.
Yes, we'll get started on some facts. I'll go first, as I started. This one made me giggle. The oldest customer complaint dates back to ancient Mesopotamia. In the nearly 4,000-year-old cuneiform tablet, and we're talking about things 4,000 years old tonight, a customer complains he was sold inferior copper ingots. Not the world's first Karen.
Oh, wow.
Oh, legend.
There are at least 10 cases of people dying of laughter.
It was us.
Yeah, we all knew we did last week.
It could have been me.
How bad is that, though? 10 people, at least, have died from just laughing. I want to know what they were laughing at.
You literally, you just run out of oxygen. Yeah, you just can't stop long enough to breathe in.
At least you died happy.
I know.
What have I?
Wouldn't be
sad about it.
Yeah.
Imagine at your funeral. Here, Lois. Howard Carter, who didn't die of a curse, he died of laughter.
Yeah.
Can you imagine someone dies of laughter? And then at the funeral, someone's like, what were they even laughing at? And they tell the joke and everyone starts laughing and then three more people drop dead. They could have all like, been laughing at the same joke.
Somebody tells the joke and nobody laughs at all.
A bit like everyone listening to our podcast. The last Illuminate Me. We're all crying and everyone's sitting there like, dude, that's not funny.
The Olympics have been hosted by multiple countries that no longer exist. West Germany is one of them. Yugoslavia and the USSR have all hosted the games in the past.
So, this is kind of a tidbit about a fact that was given before. So, do you remember you gave us the facts about crisps always going off on a Saturday?
Yeah.
Which I did check with Chris in my cupboard, that is true. So, I told someone at my work, and basically, I work for a company that makes cleaning products, so they go into companies like Walkers, and he said there is actually a reason for that, and it's not deliberate. It's apparently just because of the manufacturing process. So when they manufacture the crisps, they only have like obviously a certain time span on them. And apparently they only manufacture them on, I think either, they either manufacture them on a Saturday or a Sunday. Apparently that's the reason why. It's not as fun. Apparently there's a really boring reason behind it. But yeah, they went into Walkers and they apparently found that out as well.
They just only manufacture them on a Saturday. The rest of the time they're just packing them.
Yeah, either packing them or prepping them. So that's fair the main enough. Reason crisps are made on a Saturday, which is why. I know I was telling someone and they hit me with that one, so a tidbit there for you.
Very cool.
Good to know.
Here's another piece of information you will all use to your advantage in the future. According to a study, dunking an Oreo in milk for 3 seconds gives you the optimal balance of sogginess and structural integrity.
I'm going to test that out. I've got Oreos in the cupboard.
3 seconds is the perfect time.
I'll eat an Oreo, but I'm not crazy.
Put it in milk?
I'm not crazy on them. Okay. I prefer a hobnob, a chocolate one.
Oreos are only good in milk. Other than that.
I ate half a
I've never tried Oreos with milk, to be fair.
That absolutely
so maybe that's where I'm going
wrong. You're not crazy on Oreos. dip one in milk for 3 seconds and then tell me that they're not amazing and try not to finish the entire packet in one go.
I know, yeah. God, that's hard.
That's what she said!
Selfies are responsible for more deaths every year than sharks.
I can imagine that. You get people being idiots taking selfies while they're behind the wheel of the car and it's like... Yeah.
Or people leaning off cliffs.
Or people leaning by ridiculous. Open windows and shit.
Mm. I'm going to tell you one that we already know because it was just, it kind of like stemmed on from our private conversations after the whole weenus incident on the last show. But the skin between your, is it your index finger and your thumb, that stretchy bit of skin just there, is called your flagina.
So, going on the theme of names for things you probably never realised, the blob of toothpaste on a toothbrush has a name. It's called a nurdle.
And
there was once a lawsuit over which toothpaste company had the rights to portray it.
Really? Wow.
Mm-hmm. Which company won?
I already knew it was called a nurdle, but I didn't know the rest. Going back to my conspiracy from today for a moment, there is a 5-story blood red waterfall in Antarctica, and scientists aren't 100% certain why it happens.
I've seen that. I've seen videos of that, and it's really eerie. But I feel like a lot of the videos are edited to make it look worse. I heard somewhere that it could be to do with the it's either a fungus or an algae. I think it might have been an algae that grows within the water that gives it that colour.
There's theories, really, but they're not 100% certain why it does it.
Because no one's allowed to go there.
Yeah.
And you've got cool shit like that people go. Oh, this one was weird. I found this really weird. When you feel your stomach drop on a roller coaster, what you're actually feeling is your organs moving around inside your body.
Makes sense.
I've got a fact that I learned from work. So, again, names for things. You know when you say, oh, I'm going to Hoover the house? Or if someone's like...
Hoover's just a brand.
Hoover's just a brand. It's called a proprietary eponym. That's what the phrase is called. And it's when a brand becomes so synonymous with a product that
In America, people using a Kleenex.
Yeah.
Where they mean tissue.
Yeah.
It's like people say shellac, and it's like shellac's a brand.
Yeah.
It's a brand, it's gel polish.
Yeah. It's called a proprietary eponym.
Yeah.
You got another one for us?
Yeah, I've got one, and a little bit off subject now. Gary Lineker pooped his pants during a game in the 1990 World Cup.
Nice.
Bit of context.
Did he fall out of his shorts or something?
Did he kick that and go, goal?
Lineker was sick, but tried to tough it out anyway. Despite his accident, Lineker stayed in the game.
Wow.
So he carried on playing.
Nice. That's commitment, that is. Here's a fun little one for you. Relative to their body size, barnacles have the biggest penises in the animal kingdom.
Wow.
Barnacles.
Little things you see on rocks when you're fishing for crabs.
So that's probably how they hang onto the rock. Just wrap their massive dick around the rock and hold on. It's literally
like
rock
a Hoover.
Hard. Yeah.
Fuck you!
Like a Karcher vacuum cleaner.
So who here has got blue eyes?
I think
you're
the
only one.
Yeah.
Is it just my fucking eye? People with blue eyes are more likely to experience sleep paralysis than anyone else.
Wow.
I heard another fact while walking around Iceland the other day.
Why are you pointing at me, though?
Just you. No.
Me?
Another fact while walking around the supermarket. There are other supermarkets available. We're not endorsed by Iceland in any way.
Although I would love to be, just saying.
You're
so
to sponsor us.
Walking around Iceland and I read, she was like, are you reading a fucking news article while we're food shopping? Yes. It's important. I found out that recently scientists have found the oldest known place, should we say, that they've found the gene responsible for ginger hair. and it was in, I can't remember how old it was now, but it was in a frog. They found a fossil of like a 40,000-year-old frog. Maybe even older than that, like millions of years. I can't remember. I don't want to exaggerate, and it was like 10 years old, but you know, obviously. It was a long, long time ago. Fossilised frog. They found this gene that's responsible for giving ginger hair. So technically, anyone that's ginger, you got that gene from a frog.
Was it a ginger frog? Like an orange frog?
I don't know. I'd like to think so.
A ginger
frog. It's got ginger hair.
I am now a ginger frog.
You are. Look like Ron Weasley, but
spirit
as a frog.
Animal.
Nice.
I love
anyone got any more?
Spirit amphibian.
I've got one more fact.
I do actually, and it's so random, but so interesting, but I'm kind of here for it as well. So, Kim Kardashian has a glam clause in her will. It states that if she's ever in a position where she can't get herself ready, can't communicate, or she's unconscious, someone has to make sure her hair, nails and makeup are perfect. And I'm not gonna lie, that's kind of iconic, and I'd probably do that as well.
You know what? Love that.
I know.
That's amazing.
Fair play.
I'm putting that in there right now.
Have you got any more?
No.
Okay. I'm gonna do the boring one because it's in line with Antarctica.
And because there's less chance of us starting to have a fucking giggle fit in the last few seconds.
Yeah. The continent with the highest literacy rate is Antarctica. Since the only people living on Antarctica are scientific researchers, it makes sense that the adult literacy rate is 100%.
As long as you don't count the penguins, yes.
And the aliens.
And the aliens.
And the aliens.
Although they are advanced aliens, I'm assuming
they're probably smarter than us.
They can probably read. Well, I've got one more. Sort of links into Stacey's fact about countries, but very, very, very thinly. We love the film Bad Santa.
Yeah.
Yeah? But if we were Czech, we probably wouldn't have liked it as much as we do now. The Czech name for the movie roughly translates to Santa is a pervert.
Oh, no.
And on that note...
Merry Christmas now. Hopefully it won't take me that long to edit, Jesus. But yeah, we did it, guys. We did it. We didn't have any weird laughing fits. No one died laughing.
Luckily.
Boring.
Try and spice it up a bit more next time. And I'm hoping to edit most of this out because, Jesus Christ, it went on for a while. Oh, dear. So, this should go out before Halloween. So that means that on Halloween we will have the Eerie Theories episode that's just been finished. We literally just finished recording that. That will go out on the morning of Halloween, ready for everyone to listen to. Give that a listen. It's very, very spooky. Lots of spooky, spooky Halloween themed stuff. Then the next guest that will be live on Powerverse Live after that. I think we kind of take a week off for Halloween because we're always way too busy for around Halloween to do live shows. So the next live will be on the 5th of November. Those of you in the UK, Bonfire Night. Listen back to some of the other episodes. Come follow us on TikTok, Facebook, YouTube. We're on Rumble and Twitch now. I have no idea how any of these things work, but we're on there. I'm going to give a quick shout out to one of the sponsors for the live show, Third Eye Clothing. Anyone that watched the last couple of lives, you'll have seen their little logo floating just above my head. They have a brand new clothing line that launches for us in 2 weeks, but by the time this podcast goes out, it will already be live, and their designs are amazing. We have already placed our orders, so they will hopefully be here as soon as possible.
Yeah, well, we'll be doing an unboxing on TikTok and Insta.
They will be available for you to go buy on www.thirdeyeclothing.co. You can go over there and order some of their amazing stuff, all completely tracked. Yeah, go check them out. Go order yourself some merch and you can match us. So other than that, think it's time to say goodbye.
Mm-hmm.
Before this is too long and I don't want to edit it anymore.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks for joining us.
Bye.
Bye.